WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope your morning is starting off right. Mine is starting off pretty good. A little chilly today. Got the, what do they call these? I'm asking you as if you can see what I'm wearing. But those sweaters that only zip like a little bit down the way. Anyway. Had to put one of those on this morning because it was a little chilly. But you just heard Phil give you the forecast there that it's going to actually warm up in the coming days. We might get back into the low 70s. It's funny because I was in one of the thrift stores I shop at for clothes. And I'm like, well, time to get flannel shirts and more of these pullovers. And, you know, because I've gone down another size. And I'm like, I'm going to need it. Going to need it because it's getting cold. And then I hear some ladies on at the other rack talking about how, well, next week's going to be in the 70s. Like, wait, what? Here I was ready to put away all my summery clothes. But that's all right. We'll take a nice little warm spell. Yeah, I couldn't believe that I'm wearing a large in some things now. So I guess I got to keep shopping. I was kind of looking forward to not shopping anymore, reaching an end point where I didn't have to buy any more clothes. Anyway, speaking of shopping, it's a big day for those of you who still shop at Stop and Shop. Some of you probably already gave up on it. I know many folks who said they were done with Stop and Shop when they instituted the 10-cent bag fee. Last week we reported that Rhode Island was eliminating the bag fee and that Massachusetts would soon follow, but they had some things to work out. Well, yesterday I was just looking on social media. I was actually following the shark story. And then, which we have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, you can actually see photos of the great white that was hauled away from the beach in Orleans yesterday. But as I was going through social media, I saw someone post that it was just a photo in one of the local town groups of two women holding up a sign that said, you know, you asked, we listen, this store is no longer charging 10 cents for bags. And I tried to reach out to the person that posted it and say, did you take this photo? Is this definitely from a local Stop and Shop? So I called the store. The person didn't get back to me. So I called the store. The store confirmed that starting today, they would not be charging. This was the Dartmouth store, North Dartmouth, Fawns Corner Road. And so then I started calling around to some of the other local Stop and Shops. Fairhaven told me they were going to eliminate the bags on Friday. The south end of New Bedford and the north end of New Bedford both told me. That's Kings Highway in the north end and Dartmouth Street on the south end. They both told me that they had already stopped charging for paper bags. And then I talked to some other stores. Some didn't give me an answer. Some didn't pick up. One told me they had no plans to eliminate the bag fees, which, surprise. So as I'm calling to these different stores, I also reached out to our our contact over at Stop and Shop, the spokesperson, Stephanie Kuna, and I asked her if she knew what stores were going to be ending the bag fees, and she got back to me and said, all Massachusetts stores, except for some, a few communities where they're still required to charge for bags, will have no more 10-cent charge starting today. Now, I don't know what communities those are. I'll reach back out and find out. But I don't think it's any here. There's none on the South Coast that I'm familiar with that have an ordinance that require them to charge for bags. And even then, I'm still surprised that Stop and Shop isn't just eating the 10 cents. I get it. That's a lot of brown paper bags that go out of there every day. But it's probably worth it for the goodwill of getting the people back in those towns to come shopping there. But now you don't have to deal with paying for those bags. It's still better if you bring your reusable bags or don't take a bag if you really don't need one. But you won't be charged 10 cents if you do. And you've probably seen me walking across Sconicut Neck Road carrying a bunch of stuff in my arms because I forgot to bring my reusable bag and I'm not going to pay 10 cents for a bag. Then when I bring the reusable bag, sometimes I have more than I can fit into a bag. Well, I'll be shoving a bunch of stuff in there and then carrying the rest of it in my hands. Or I will buy another reusable bag for 99 cents, which is how they get you. You don't want to pay 10 cents, but you'll pay 99 cents. But then, you know, to me, it's worth it because it's a bag I'll use again. I have like three in my office. I figure if I get past three, I'm just an idiot. It's my own fault for not bringing one over. So I don't know if you are someone who stopped shopping there because of the bag fees. I know a lot of folks said, well, the prices went up. And I've even heard people say, well, I was dealing with the higher prices because prices were up everywhere. And I liked the convenience of shopping at my local Stop and Shop. But then the bag fees just put me over the edge. But then there are also those who just kept putting up with it. Just kept, like me. I just go over there and put up with it. It's convenient for me to shop there. But I think that you will find now between that and the new pricing plan that they're launching, which already launched in Rhode Island and which they're implementing slowly in a rollout here in Massachusetts. And then with a couple of that, with the fact that they're closing some underperforming stores, hopefully all of that will streamline some things and make it more affordable to shop there in comparison to other grocery stores. I get it. Grocery shopping is more expensive than it was. And it's probably going to continue to be. But Stop and Shop can get itself more in line with the prices that, say, Market Basket is charging. Especially if you are in an economically depressed area. So I think you'll start to see more of those changes rolling out. I think it's happening faster than we thought that it would. I went into Stop and Shop a couple times this week already and noticed that some prices were cheaper than I remembered seeing them even the week before. Now, I haven't done actual grocery shopping because I'm not home for the next couple of weeks, but I've grabbed a few things here and there. The creamer I use in my coffee here, a sandwich the other day. Yesterday, I got some pre-made pad thai. And I've noticed that the prices have already been dropping on items. I don't know how many of you have gone out and done your big grocery store run for the week and seeing if there's been an effect on your wallet. But I'd be interested in hearing if you have. 508-996-0500. But starting today, almost all Massachusetts Stop and Shops will no longer have the 10-cent bag fee. Stephanie Cunha told us, we have heard our customers loud and clear, and as a result, we have decided to eliminate the 10-cent paper bag fee for our in-store shoppers. Now, Stephanie's been great about getting the information and sending me stuff in a timely manner. So this is not a slight on her at all, but this is a question I have for Stop and Shop corporately. Why did it take a year and a half for you to hear your customers loud and clear? They've been complaining about the bag fee since you instituted them in May of 2023. So why did it take you this long? And why did it take you this long to try to put in a price-lowering plan? Why did you wait until you had the negative press of having to close underperforming stores? This came, I don't know, a month, month and a half, maybe 2 months after the announcement that some stores in Massachusetts would be closing, including locally the Raynham store. So I think that there's a little bit of, I don't want to say disingenuousness there, but there's more to the story than just we heard our customers loud and clear. But you complaining certainly did help to make a difference. And it seems like such a dumb little thing on the surface to say, well, you're complaining about 10 cents. How many bags do you use when you go shop? What'd you get? 10 bags of groceries? That's still only a dollar, but listen. People already hate the paper bags to begin with. They rip. They don't, you can't carry things from the car to the house. I don't know how people go to, you know, third floor walk-ups with those bags and carry groceries upstairs. They're not, they don't even seem like the same brown bags that we used to use back in the days before we had the plastic bags. Right? Don't they seem cheaper than that? And it's probably because, you know, now they're made with 100% recycled material. So that might have an effect on the durability of the bag. It might just be that they started making them more cheaply. I don't know. But they're definitely not the same bags that we used to bring our groceries home in the 80s and 70s and then cover our books with them. That they're not the same bags. You could show me all the science in the world that you want to say they are the same, and I'm still not going to believe you. Because I've just, in practice, they're not the same bags. I used to be able to fill one of those brown paper bags up with a bunch of paperback books from a yard sale and carry those wherever I wanted to and not had a problem. Now I put in, you know, a bag of potato chips, a loaf of bread, and a carton of eggs, and this thing's like, what? So I'm paying 10 cents on top of that. But I think what hurt people more was that they were trying to stay loyal to the brand when prices were going up and when prices were not equal to what they could be somewhere else for just a few more minutes drive. And they were rewarded for that loyalty by having to pay 10 cents for bags, which they didn't have to do anywhere else. It's just a bad marketing move. It's like if you went to an ice cream shop and the ice cream shop was like, yeah, listen, if you want a cone, it's 10 cents more now. What? Yeah, you can have it in a cup. You can bring your own cup, you can bring your own cone, but if you buy a cone from us, we got to charge you 10 cents more. You say, nobody else charges me 10 cents for the cone. Why do I have to pay 10 cents for the cone here? And also, why don't you just work that into the prices that you're already charging me instead of having this nominal fee that is going to irritate me? And that's the thing. They could have looked at the most popular item in Stop and Shop. What do you think it would be? Milk, maybe? I don't know. I'm just guessing. But look at the most popular item. Look at something that everybody buys that goes in there, or a majority of people buy, and raise that 10 cents. It would have covered the bag fees, and nobody would have ever been the wiser. Nobody would have complained if they were paying 10 cents more for milk at Stop and Shop compared to other stores if they were still buying everything else there. So I don't know why you didn't bury the cost. Or even better, make a big production out of it. Hey, some municipalities are forcing us to charge for paper bags. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay those charges for you. That would have been a huge marketing win. And also, what other supermarkets are in these municipalities where they have to charge for bags? And are they charging for bags? Because I haven't heard about it. I'm going to guess it's probably the more socioeconomically prosperous communities. The kinds of places where they do things like ban plastic bottles. Although I shouldn't say that. You know, New Bedford is certainly not considered a Brookline, but New Bedford was banning nip bottles. Trying to. So maybe the idea is not that it's, you know, these wealthier communities that are doing it, but you would think if it is, they would have a Whole Foods. And then maybe that Whole Foods would have paper bags, recyclable paper bags. And why aren't they charging 10 cents? Or maybe they are. And the people who shop there just don't complain about it. I don't know. But the bottom line is, no more charge for paper bags at Stop and Shop. If it does, if your Stop and Shop still charges, blame your town. 508-996-0500. Is this going to get you to go back there? Or have you already started shopping somewhere else and said, no, I'm good, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing? You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, I'm going to take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
And you grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night.
And welcome back in. Say, listen, if you have a baby that you feel is, like, extra cute, Fun 107 has brought back its baby idol contest. It's been a few years since they've done it, but they've brought it back, and right now they are taking submissions all this week for the South Coast's most photogenic babies. And if you head on over to the Fun 107 website, fun107.com, you can enter your baby. Now, we have a couple of requirements when you do that. It's got to be, you know, your own child. You can't enter somebody else's baby. There's an age restriction for how old the baby can be. And no professional photographs. They have to be amateur photos that you took yourself or that you have the permission for us to be able to publish. Because they're going to take the top 107 babies that come in. They're going to put them all out there. And then you are going to vote for who is the South Coast baby idol. So if you want to take part in that, again, fun107.com, you can find all the information right there. Oh, and by the way, the winner gets $1,000. Right now it is time to go into the newsroom, though, and get the top story from, I'm sure he was a cute baby. I know he was a New Year's baby, the one and only Phil Devitt.
Harris says she's confident about the presidential election. Families of Maine's mass shooting victims planning to sue. And something you can't see messing with the price of your home.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Harris is confident about November's election.
I'm going to win. I'm going in. But it's tight.
In a radio town hall event with the Breakfast Club host Charlamagne Tha God, Harris also tried to quiet critics who say she sticks to the talking points too much. She said she repeats the same messages because people need to hear and receive the most critical issues of this election. She said what's at stake in the election is, quote, truly profound. Former President Trump refused to talk about whether or not he's spoken with Russian President Vladimir Putin since he left the White House. Brian Shook reports.
He was asked about Putin during an interview with Bloomberg News at the Economic Club of Chicago Tuesday.
Well, I don't comment on that, but I will tell you that if I did, it's a smart thing.
Trump did defend the idea of him having talks with Putin since he's been out of office. He said, if I'm friendly with people, if I have a relationship with people, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Bob Woodward wrote in his new book that Trump and Putin have secretly remained in contact the past few years. I'm Brian Shook.
Families of the victims of a mass shooting in Maine that left 18 people dead are planning to pursue negligence claims against the federal government. The family spoke on Tuesday after their lawyers announced they're intending to sue the Defense Department, the Army, and the Keller Army Community Hospital in West Point.
It's so difficult for us to relive those moments. It's even more tragic that there were many opportunities to prevent this.
The families allege they failed to respond to any warning signs that the gunman, Robert Card, made before going on a shooting spree at a bar and a bowling alley in Lewiston a little over a year ago. FEMA is helping South Florida communities picking up the pieces from last week's tornadoes. The agency's disaster assistance teams are going door to door. Officials will connect residents with resources and help them apply for federal aid. Holiday sales are slated to set a new record in 2024. The National Retail Federation announced they could go up by as much as 3.5% from last year, reaching about $980 billion. This as inflation begins to cool. And depending on what state you're in, ghosts in your home can affect a sale. Bree Tennis with more.
A new report from real estate site Zillow says only 4 states require people to report any kind of paranormal activity at a residence to a potential buyer. That means ghosts can be a deal breaker, but only in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Minnesota. In California, you only have to tell the buyer if someone died in the house within the past 3 years. But if you can prove your new home is haunted and it's affecting market value, you can sue the seller for non-disclosure. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Preseason now in the rear view for the Celtics, wrapping it with the Raptors last night. Now it's on to the new season. Boston hosting the New York Knicks at TD Garden on Tuesday, the 22nd. But first, Bruins on the road tonight to play the Colorado Avalanche at 9:30. And the Patriots go from New England to OG England. They're in London on Sunday, facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Game starts at 9:30 a.m. on this side of the pond.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A chilly start to your Wednesday. Frost possible. Sunshine as we get into the day. A high of 54 degrees. Cold tonight and a frosty start on Thursday. Partly cloudy, a high of 58. More sun on Friday. Looking sunny for the weekend as well. Temperatures possibly hitting the low 70s by then. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Strong, we were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name, but no one wants.
Welcome back in. You heard Phil there mention ghosts in that report. Now, that's not entirely accurate based on my research. So, yeah, there's only four states where you are required to disclose, but there's many other states where you are required to disclose if they ask, including Massachusetts. So if someone asks you, are there any reports of this property being haunted? And if the seller or the realtor knows that there have been, they are required to answer. They're required to provide that information. Four states where you have to offer it up front. So that's my understanding of it. I have a friend, Erin Sylvia. Actually, she just got married, so she, I don't know if she's, well, maybe professionally she's still using that name. But she goes by the name The Surrealtor, and she specializes in supposedly haunted properties. And I got a message from Carol Ann who says, a deal breaker when talking about ghosts, because for many people, that's a selling point. At least the people I know, the cool people. I have some friends that live in Connecticut. Tom D'Agostino and Arlene Nicholson, Tom has written many books on the paranormal. You've seen them all on the shelves around here. And they were out house hunting in Connecticut years ago. And they asked the realtor, well, you know, is this place haunted? Are there any reports of any ghosts here? And the realtor's heart just sank. And she thought she had a sale all in the bag. But until they asked that question, she's like, yeah, well, there are some reports, and I totally understand if you want to see something else. And they're like, no, tell us more. We want it. We want it if it's haunted. We don't want to spend money on a house that doesn't have any ghosts in it. They have to go out and find our own ghosts. You know how hard that is? So, pretty interesting. And I'll be talking more about ghosts tonight at the New Bedford Free Public Library, the main branch downtown, third floor meeting room. I will be up there tonight at 7 p.m. to talk about From Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers, how ghost hunting is really just modern day spiritualism. So we'll look back all the way back to 1849 when the Fox Sisters heard those mysterious knocks in their cabin, Hydesville, New York, and gave birth to the spiritualist movement. We'll talk about what did in the spiritualist movement and why it died off, no pun intended, but has kind of made, I wouldn't say a comeback, but certainly has continued to be something that people practice. Not as popular as it once was, but it's still practiced. And then we'll talk about how people began pseudoscientifically looking into the paranormal, utilizing modern technology, but that modern technology is really just using the same skill sets that they were using through the spiritualism era. So it should be a pretty fun discussion. There's a few jokes in this one that you might not have heard if you've heard me talking about ghosts of the South Coast or ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle. I'll have a few different jokes that you might. They're still just probably as lame, but I try to give this information in a way that's entertaining because I'm asking you to come on a journey with me that requires belief. Or as George always says, belief. So I'm asking for you to kind of just assume from the beginning that this is a real phenomena. And here is how people have been interacting with it. But we'll also talk about some of the ways that it's been debunked as well. So that's 7 p.m. tonight at the New Bedford City, at the New Bedford Public Library, downtown branch, third floor meeting room. Hope to see you there. And yes, I will have some books for sale, provided that the library will allow me to sell them. Some libraries don't, and I didn't ask. I'll check with Amy today and find out. But if not, you know, you can certainly grab your copy of Ghosts of the South Coast locally at Walgreens, CVS. I think it's in Target's, where, you know, Barnes & Noble has them. And if it's not signed already, bring it by. I'll sign it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You were on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
Is there a fee at the library for the lecture?
The library doesn't charge, but I'm going to make you give me $5. No.
My son has a ghost in his house. I've called before, but I'm going to have to tell him that he'll be there tonight. Maybe he'll go down.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope I see him. It is totally free. I'm just kidding around.
No. Okay, I'm going to tell him because it's very interesting.
All right.
And he's still having things going on in his house. So anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And yes, it is totally free. All of my presentations are totally free. So I don't think I have anything. I was supposed to be doing something in Plymouth, but I've kind of dragged on getting that done. So I think I'm going to reach out to them probably today or tomorrow and see if we can punt that to November and put together something that'll really be fun. And that will be a ticketed event. But everything else is the libraries take care of it. Through the Friends of the Library program, through grants, through all kinds of different ways. But they bring in not just me, but all kinds of great speakers. And if you are not going to your local library and experiencing some of the presentations and speakers that they bring in, you're missing out. Most of the folks that I know in the paranormal world, or at least the ones that I first met, you know, almost 20 years ago, I met because I would go to free presentations that were put on by a local paranormal group at Cape Cod Community College. So that's where you can meet like-minded people and where you can hear about topics that you're interested in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you. Okay, so we're losing our minds now. I was listening to the report. And I guess it was the state of California that they said, if you sell a house and you don't tell the person there's a ghost in there, you can sue the previous owner. Now, what if while the previous owner was living there, there were no paranormal things going on? How are they going to prove that they didn't have any and it happened when you started moving in after you bought it?
See, and that's where it gets sticky because it's not about whether or not it is haunted. It's about whether or not they know that it was allegedly haunted. And really, it's not so much necessarily that the law is about ghosts, but it's about what they call a problem. It's not problem property. That's something different. But there's a term for maligned property, I think, is what it's called. And so if there's any kind of, so it could be, you know, rumors of hauntings. It could be that someone was killed in the house. It's really less about whether or not there's a ghost in the house and more about whether or not people are going to show up on your front lawn because they read in a book that there are ghosts in your house and they want to try to see if there's something in your windows.
Yeah. And then you could also have to face the fact that, they're supposed to tell you if somebody died in the house, if you ask. So the person could ask, and then the guy would say, no, nobody ever died here. And then how can they prove it in court? How can he come back and say, well, they never asked me?
Right.
How can they say they didn't ask? Where's the witness that, you know, they asked me?
I don't know that it's ever been successfully proven in court. And I think it's just, you know, people looking at the way the law is written and saying, this could happen this way, but I don't know that it ever actually has.
I think that will fade away, that problem. Anyway, another one. Now, I heard it right on BSM because, you know, the radio was on all night. So it was a talk show early in the morning and, like, just before you. A 51-year-old woman. And I've been saying things like this for a long time. Nobody listens. 51-year-old woman went to the hospital because she had breast cancer. And they were going to remove not the breast, but the tissue, the cancerous tissue. And everything was all set. All the things they do prior to the surgery, you know, your name, your testing, and everything was done. She was about to go in. Did you hear that story on your station?
I did not.
Oh, she was just about to go in for that surgery when the doctor comes up to her and says, have you considered and have you heard of assisted death? You know, if you want to. Now, she couldn't believe it. I've been saying that they've been killing people for years. They want to do away with you. The second time she had to go back on for the other breast, same doctor comes up to her right at the time of the surgery. Have you thought of assisted death where they just give you the morphine, let you die away? Okay. They've done that to two of my friends. Okay. And one of these friends that I know is known to BSM. He used to call all the time. His name was Steve. Carlos knows him well. I know him. Phil knew him. Phil Pally Bogus. He was a sickly guy. It's a long story to him. But when he got so sick, and it was from medication, by the way, he was taking the same eye shots I had, and I kept telling him, this is why you're swelling up. This is why your blood pressure's gone. This is why you have an eye. No, he wouldn't listen. He totally believed whatever his doctor said. Now, I'm not saying ignore your doctor. I'm saying have your questions ready and check everything out. When he got so sick, he couldn't even talk anymore. He couldn't eat, and they were trying to get him to sign the form. Instead of trying to help him get better, they were just giving up on him. And it's terrible, just horrible. Okay, so
I thought that wasn't legal in Massachusetts yet. I thought it was still in the process.
You know, yeah, trying to assist a death. And do you know, poor Dr. Kevorkian went to jail for doing that. He was the pioneer, and he paid the price for what he did. He went to jail. And when he got out, of course, he passed away very shortly after that. So he went to jail for that. He didn't get the credit that he really deserved. But helping somebody to die, I don't want to give credit for any of that. But I do believe a person should choose the way they want to die. No one else should tell them, a medical person or not. I don't care. It's your life. So before all my time is out, one last thing. I called the mayor's office yesterday because I had an idea. I didn't know how that was going to go down. But, you know, you never get to really talk to the mayor. So the girl that answered, she was nice. I don't know if I can say her name out here, but I know her name now. And she asked me my name and all. I said, yes, I would like you to run an idea that I have by the mayor. She said, okay, I can do that. I wrote it down. She asked my name and my number. I said, okay. Now, my idea was this. Over there at the Wills Tooth, where they built that new crossover thing over there,
mm-hmm.
I asked her, are they going to demolish the other one? Or if it's not necessary, could they somehow fit it over here at the Octopus? That I've been complaining that the people that live in Neville don't want to even go downtown. So if it's not in bad shape, why can't they put it right over here, make it fit down a little? Maybe it's not as long as it is over there. I don't know, but do they have to take it out? Are they even going to take it out? Or are they going to have the both of them over there? It was just an idea. I said, we would like to have that walkway back. Christmas shopping downtown, going down to vote. A lot of people won't vote. And I called the mayor about that before. He never got back to me. I said, a lot of seniors here are afraid to go downtown and vote. So first of all, I never got an answer about why did they remove that first walkover. Why? And if so, if they can use that old one over there at the Whalers Tooth, why can't they bring it back and put it over here?
Yeah,
I
think from what I remember the mayor talking to me about the one that's being replaced, if I remember correctly, it's not functional anymore. Like it needs to be replaced. It needs to be it's getting to the point where it's not it's dangerous. So I think it would have to be a new one that they would have to put in there. But it's a fair point. I believe he said that it wasn't necessary to have because there wasn't enough use of it, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong.
I'll face him face to face on that one.
Call him today at 11 o'clock. People. Call him when Chris is on at 11.
What? I have tried that. I have tried that, and I can't get the line.
Well, it's pretty
Either
busy.
He's not picking up for me, or I don't know what it is.
No, they get a lot of calls, so it could be that. But I'll alert Chris that that you have a question for
and
the
wasn't
mayor.
Wasn't there a time that the mayor wasn't even taking any calls? I hate when they have people on their show and we can't call in. Like when Chris has Shane Virgo, we can't call in and talk to the people ourselves. We can't do that.
I hear phone calls all the time when they're on.
Well, I don't know. I listen to the show and I hear Chris questioning
I know that if the mayor is on the phone, if he doesn't come in, if he's on the phone, they don't take questions because if he's on the phone, he's on limited time.
Oh, well, maybe it could be that. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
But as far as it wasn't being used, he's out of his mind. All the people that live here and I'm telling you, that is the real reason why they're not getting enough voters, because a lot of them that live here will not go there.
All right, I got to hold you there because I got to take a break.
Have a great day.
You as well. All right, caller, hang on. Didn't mean to hang up on you there, Mary. Caller, hang on. I will try to squeeze you in, but I've got to take this break. We'll be right back. Let us take this call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Good. How you doing?
Great. I had my brother-in-law over last night, and he started talking to me about an experience he had and knowing your paranormal history. I says, I'm going to give you a call this morning. Have you ever heard of the Green Harbor General Store in Marshfield?
I don't think so.
Well, he worked for a beer delivery company, and the deliveries had to be made into the basement. And he said he went down there, and he felt some presence, and he seen a shadow. And he says, as soon as he come upstairs, the lady looked at him and says, you seen the ghost, didn't you? And he was like, he had chills, he says. What do you mean? He says, oh, yeah, there's a ghost down there. And it's funny how the lady saw the, I guess, the startled look or assumed he saw something because he come up a little hastily from the basement. And he says that ever since that day, he was always scared to go down there and make the delivery. So I thought maybe that may be something you may want to call over there and talk to them about.
Yeah, I have a friend that lives in that town. I can find out if maybe she can get us in there.
Yeah, it seems interesting. He says, and he's not a, one of these people that just kind of make things up. You know, mm-hmm. He said he felt something, saw a shadow move by him, and the lady said she seen in his face walk right when she walked upstairs, so even she knows about it. So maybe it's something you want to look into.
Yeah, I will definitely do that.
Okay, great. I like your show. We listen every morning.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. And I will say that I know a restaurant here locally. I won't say which one, but a restaurant locally that had the same type of experience where they had a ghost of the former owner that was in the basement, and delivery people would go down there to make deliveries and would come up completely pale, and they would say, oh, yep, you saw the ghost. So I don't want to mention it because I don't know if they talk about it publicly. I heard about this from somebody that worked there. So anyway, 508-996-0500. Also got an app chat message from Erica who says, the sweater that you're talking about is called the quarter zip, and it's the ultimate dad gear. Well, yeah, probably. But that's what I had to put on this morning because it's a little chilly out there, so keep that in mind if you're heading out the door. All right, let me take this final break of the hour. We will be right back.